B-Pod Studios.
Putting you in the middle of the story.
It's gotta be the closest thing to Woodstock.
In the middle of the day.
It's like an acidic trip.
There's always a little bit of heaven in a disaster area.
Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Was Wallach sitting here today? Are the seats different? Was he in this seat?
I just realized, too, T-Bone, am I going to be able to, play my silly little sounds out of this thing today?
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll figure it out.
All right. Thanks, T-Bone.
Okay, then. I think... Which ear does Wallach turn the noise up in? Right or left?
Tumor ear is the right ear.
So it's cranked to the right ear?
Yeah. Oh. You think it was over there?
Yeah, he had to have been sitting here. That couldn't have been a mistake.
Clean the tumor cooties off that keyboard.
Catch that.
I'm being told he was in the seat between you guys.
Oh. Well, then someone was also discovering that they are deaf in their right ear.
I think Lockhart was playing sound from right there.
Oh, okay. All right, then. Well, we're off and running here on Zolak and Bertrand. Good morning, everyone. It's me and Hardy today. T-Bone's here. Kevin's here. We're going to do a show.
That's it.
All right. That's the whole thing.
Well, talk about it. 617-779-0985.
Hey, we're on the air. It's a good day. Sun came up, sort of. We're ready to go. Ted Johnson has a thought. He's not here with us right now, but Ted Johnson had a thought on NBC Sports Boston and talking about the desire of N'Keal Harry to be traded by the Patriots. He wants to get traded. We talked about that at length yesterday. We've covered that. But we haven't covered this potential angle. That Ted not only includes N'Keal Harry in, but also includes Steph Gilmore in as it relates to this team and where things are at. Let's hear what he had to say.
Is that I think the Patriots, quite honestly, have lost that thing, that you, as you like to say, Michael, that made them the Patriots. You take Tom Brady out of New England and the entire ecosystem has been disrupted. I've been talking about this concept for a very long time, ever since Tom left. And this is another example of the ecosystem changing. When have you ever seen a player take on Bill Belichick that has not accomplished anything really in this league? Like N'Keal Harry is taking him on so publicly. You saw last week, you saw Stephon Gilmore taking on Bill Belichick. Basically, when he's publicly went out and talked about his displeasure about his contract, when he tweeted what he tweeted out last week. Okay. You're seeing things from players you've never seen before. You're seeing Bill Belichick do things you've never seen Bill Belichick do. What is the why? Why all of a sudden now? It's a totally different ecosystem now that Tom is gone, and you're seeing things and behaviors out of Bill Belichick and out of players that you have never seen before.
Okay, that is Ted saying that because Tom Brady is not a part of the team, that part of the culture of the Patriots has been lost, and it is what is allowing someone like N'Keal Harry to publicly demand a trade after accomplishing next to nothing with the team. You know, yesterday we said we've never experienced this situation with the Patriots where a young player demands a trade when they haven't done anything. We've never been in that spot in New England with Bill Belichick as head coach. Paul Perillo could not recall this ever happening before with a player in this category. And now it has. What's the difference between now and all those other years? Tom Brady's not here. Does that impact the thinking of some players?
Okay, so I think it absolutely impacts, to borrow from Ted's choice of words here, the ecosystem. But you don't have to even like take it that far. Just the, I think the mood and the overall attitude, the prevailing attitude within the Patriots, which was for years, you could point to among like all the success and all the winning and all the hard work. And maybe those are, you know, deserve to be mentioned first. But right, you know, a close second to those, Beadle, was all that stuff that we're doing here is under the umbrella of everybody works hard and everybody gets treated the same, even that guy. Even that guy. While there may be grumblings and he may say something to his closest confidants, when I say that guy, I mean Tom Brady. He's here and he's doing the work and he is, he's taking his medicine either in film or in practice or in a Super Bowl where he's not going to be the star and it's going to be a defensive effort that's going to win you the game like it did against the Rams. It is going to be the fallback default position that you can go to time and time again and say, if it's okay for this guy, then it's okay for you. And then a couple of years back, it wasn't okay for that guy anymore. And he left. And they probably wanted him gone a little bit too. I say they, it was Bill. Why can't it be both? Bill wanted him gone. Brady wanted out. So after all the hard work and, you know, if still all the success you can draw in the last 20 years, that one underlying undercurrent of, hey, if Brady can handle it, you should be able to handle it. You don't have that anymore.
Well, I think that came up in contracts for sure with the money. Can't make more than Tom Brady, right?
Yeah.
Brady takes less. You should take less too. But I also think sort of the shine is off of the Patriots aura, mystique, whatever you want to call that, with Brady not being there, which may be what allows for N'Keal Harry, who has not experienced any of those great Patriot seasons, to say, what's so special about this team? They are the reason that I'm not having success. I'm better than this place. Get me somewhere else. And so I could see it maybe with N'Keal Harry. I disagree on Stephon Gilmore being a part of that, though. I do. Because the Patriots over the years have had plenty of players who have been involved in contract disputes with the team. Richard Seymour had contract disputes. Deion Branch had a contract dispute that led to him being traded. Vince Wilfork had contract disputes with the team. Logan Mankins spoke out against the team saying that basically I took them at their word and I felt I played out an undervalued contract. I'm a team player. He aired out the laundry publicly and took on the team. Remember what Mankins said? He said this, and this is when Tom Brady was very much on the Patriots and already had three rings. Right now, this is about principle with me and keeping your word and how you treat people. This is what I thought the foundation of the Patriots was built on. That's what Mankins said. Apparently, I was wrong. Growing up, I was taught a man's word is his bond. Obviously, this isn't the case with the Patriots. That's Logan Mankins in 2010. Veterans have taken on the team before. Veterans have spoken out against the team. They've challenged the team in contract issues and feeling that they want more money. But the younger player, that to me is a new development. And maybe it does have something to do with Brady and how players view the franchise and view the team. It also doesn't help that Brady won a Super Bowl. That doesn't help them.
No.
I think we've covered that.
Yeah.
I think we've been over that. But
doesn't help their case.
I hadn't really thought about this yesterday. I've tried to not think about Brady. That's what I've tried to do. I've tried to think less about Brady. We've spent so much time focused on Brady. And while we sat here yesterday saying, N'Keal Harry, that's new. You don't see that happen very often. Young player who stinks, demanding Bill Belichick trade him. Would it have happened if Tom Brady was still here? Maybe not. Maybe it wouldn't.
Well,
maybe a young player wouldn't have the balls to do that.
And the young player would probably feel more, if not obligated, at least a sense of, I want to play with Tom Brady. I want to be good enough to have Tom Brady think of me as a guy that he can go to and a guy that he can rely on. And if I'm going to, you know, be remembered and maybe even more importantly, get paid, I have a better chance of doing that, playing with Tom Brady, than I do anyone else out there. They all now play for the Patriots.
Well, it's
whether
it's
Cam Newton or Jared Stidham or Mac Jones, we don't know if he can play yet. Like this is the place that you wouldn't want to go to before because of the quarterback situation. Now it's a reason to leave.
It's a little easier to demand a trade out of an offense that has who at quarterback? Cam Newton, we think.
Maybe
a rookie in Mac Jones. We don't know. It's easier to demand a trade out of an offense that had a bad Cam Newton last season, and we don't know, maybe Cam Newton again this season, than it would be to say, I'm demanding a trade out of the offense that Tom Brady runs. That's a much worse look for a player. It doesn't look as bad right now. We don't even know who the starter is week one officially. We don't know. There are a lot of people hoping and praying that it's Mac Jones.
Yeah, forget about officially, Beetle. We don't know.
We just don't know. It's much easier to beg out of that team than it is a team that has Tom Brady as their quarterback. I think that's what you're saying, Artie. I think that's absolutely the case. Even if it wasn't just feeling the obligation of having to play for a guy like Brady, it's you're going to beg off and demand a trade off a team that has Tom Brady as quarterback because it hasn't worked for you. Oh, and you think it's going to work somewhere else? Why? And I get that Brady's record with young receivers isn't exactly impeccable, but still, the point stands.
Yeah.
Brady has a reputation. N'Keal Harry does not. But N'Keal Harry can ask for a trade on a team where they don't even know who the quarterback is.
Right. And there are multiple reasons, but they all kind of lead back to Brady. And whether it's a change in the ecosystem, like Ted Johnson said, or whether it's just a receiver asking to be removed from a team, the constant there and the variable is Tom Brady, and for different reasons, but Brady's involved in both of them.
You know that players are always going to lean towards siding with players for anything, players versus coach. So when they are thinking about the success of the Patriots over the last two decades, you know that they lean more to the players and the assembled group. I think that's how players look at it. I think players have always looked at it that way. Players here in New England have discussed that at points many years ago, whether it be Mike Vrabel or Richard Seymour or others who said, the coach, as they were repeatedly asked about their coach. Yeah, well, we got some good players here too, you know. We can play. And so I think players that are still in the league and still look at this team, maybe even guys that are on this roster say, the success of this team was built on Tom Brady, not Bill Belichick. Brady's the reason they won. Oh, the Patriots are not exactly the Patriots anymore. They don't have Brady anymore. And I think that's probably a thought throughout the league with its players. And maybe you're seeing some of that right now with N'Keal Harry. Part of his reason where he feels completely comfortable demanding a trade after 2 years of not really participating all that much. 617-779-0985. So could N'Keal Harry be gone? That we've discussed a little bit. But also, could Sony Michel be gone as well? That is being discussed by at least one outlet that covers the Patriots. We'll tell you about that coming up next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
PM. So,
not a dummy.
Beetle. Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
First down is headed for the pass from the Jets 31. Newton swings it to the right. Catch by Michel. Good grab on the run to the 20, to the 15, to the 10. Sony to the 5, to the end zone. Touchdown, Patriots!
Six one seven 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 nine zero ninety eight five. Reading from Patriots Wire on USA Today's website. Headline: Why N'Keal Harry and Sony Michel will likely both be gone by the trade deadline.
Whoa!
Wow! N'Keal Harry being gone is not a surprise.
When I saw that, I'm like, why is it going to take until the trade deadline?
Right.
What are you talking about?
But the other part is Sony Michel in a trade, which I don't think is outrageous. Curious to know more about this, given that I had just asked Paul Perillo yesterday if Sony Michel was a lock for the roster. And he said, well, I wouldn't say lock. Lock is really strong, right? The strong way. But Patriots Wire writes this: one player teams should look to trade for is Patriots running back Sony Michel. The former first-round pick has dealt with his fair share of injuries throughout his career, but he's still a talented playmaker capable of adding significant value to an offensive backfield. If the Patriots weren't so loaded at running back, the suggestion here would be to hold on for dear life, especially if the return price is good. But the offense appears to be trending in the direction of Damian Harris and James White. The team also likes what they have in J.J. Taylor, and they just spent a fourth-round pick on Ramondre Stevenson, that is, out of Oklahoma. There's only one football and too many mouths to feed. The Patriots also declined Michelle's fifth-year option on his rookie deal, which makes him an unrestricted free agent at the end of the deal. At the end of this season, the end of the deal. And they say, why not get something in return for him? The one thing I would caution against in trading Sony Michel, what's the value in the return? What do you get back?
Well, what would you want back, first of all? Forget about the quality of the player. If you were to trade Sony Michel, are you worried about the run game? Are you immediately going to want something back to help you in that regard?
Do you know what I'm worried about? I'm worried about injuries at running back with the guys they do have.
Yeah.
I'm worried about James White being older.
I don't even think about James White as a running back, quite frankly. Well, That's not in the traditional sense. Not in this offense, not knowing who the quarterback is going to be. I think of James White as a great football player, but as much receiver as I do running back. So I don't even, I know it's not fair and it's not right, but I don't even really count that. Who are you going to hand the ball off to if Cam Newton is in fact your starting quarterback week one and still can't throw the ball? Who's going to run it? Well, you want to trade Sony Michel? I don't know about that.
Well, I was just saying that I was going to name all the guys and all their issues as to why they could get hurt. I'm just including James White in the running back room,
right,
if you will.
Okay.
I get what you're saying.
All right, with James White.
I don't disagree with what you're saying. Sony Michel has not been a significant pass catching back for this team in his time as a Patriot, even though he was advertised as having that ability.
Okay.
Based on his time in Georgia. Now I've lost what I was thinking at the time.
The list of running backs.
I was going through
who's in the running back room?
Okay, so they just drafted a player, and again, I understand, as Paul said yesterday, the guys that they have sort of redshirted have been the guys who are the pass-catching backs.
Yep.
And Stevenson figures to be more of a, you know, bell cow type of back, RB1 type of back, if you will.
Nice.
So there's that. He may not get that redshirt. Damian Harris has dealt with injuries, and as Paul said, in that first year, he was not really redshirted. It was really more about injuries.
And we talked about Damian Harris yesterday. I like Damian Harris as a player if he's on the field.
Correct. So I sort of wonder about that war of attrition in the injury department with running backs. That's the one thing I would look at and say, well, if you got a bunch of guys, or at least two of them, the two guys that you know what they are at the NFL level, in Harris and in Sony Michel, and they both have injury problems, wouldn't you keep both? To cover one another, basically? Because I'm not sure what the return would be for Sony Michel. My guess is the return would not be significant, and I would rather the team be better in the here and now. That's how I sort of look at it. But I also know there could be a numbers crunch at some point, and they look to move them. But I personally wouldn't do it. I asked Paul yesterday because I don't know. I just wonder if they're still in love with Sony Michel. I just wonder how they feel about the player. And that comes into play always. How do they think about the player right now? How do they feel about him?
However they feel about him has to directly be tied to how they feel about their quarterback situation and how they're going to be able to function without him there. And yeah, he's been very good at times, and at other times he has been, you know, I don't think he's suck as Maz likes to say, but underwhelming at other points. But you need someone to help you move the ball if you are still dealing with this quarterback situation, not just week one, but if you are in a position where you can or need to make a change midway through the season and things are, you know, a little sketchy at first, you got to have a solid running game. You got to be able to hand the ball off and have someone run it and advance the ball for you that way. And without Sony Michel there, that's one less option. Unless you're getting another running back in return that you feel could do that job.
J.J. Taylor.
Okay.
If they feel he can do that. He's a little guy, though. Little guy. Jake in Boston. Go ahead, Jake.
a few things, boys. Number one, the shine is in Tampa. First of all, Tom Brady deserves the Conn Smythe Trophy because it ain't just the guys in his locker room that he impacts. It's the other locker rooms in a given city now.
Stop it.
Before Tom got to Tampa, we know what the Lightning did the previous 2 years. They choked to Columbus. They lost to Washington. And now they got him over the hump twice in a row. Number two, there are statistics behind this, Hardy, so don't laugh at it. The city Tom Brady has either lived in or played in has won 25 championships in his lifetime. It is him. It is not Boston. It is not Bill Belichick. It is not Bob Kraft. It's Tom Brady, and everything he touches wins. The Niners, the Red Wings when he was in college in
Detroit. That doesn't count. He wasn't in Detroit. He was in Ann Arbor.
Close enough.
Well,
it's
Michigan
really not.
Hockey won two. Hold on. Michigan Hockey won two national championships when he was there. Does that not count?
No, it doesn't. No.
Not really. No.
You don't believe that.
None of that counts.
You don't believe the Niners do when he was a baby.
He was counting those. He's counting the 49ers. He's counting Detroit.
It's very cute, but you don't believe that. No. You don't believe that wherever Tom Brady lives, championships come to that city. You don't believe that. It is a barely interesting anomaly. You don't believe that.
He has nothing to do with the Tampa Bay Lightning.
He had nothing to do with the Red Wings winning back-to-back cups when he was at Michigan. Nothing.
He had a lot to do with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers winning the Super Bowl this year. We can get back to reality for a moment.
Okay. Now, to be fair to Jake.
Yeah.
Did he have something to do with the culture of winning in Boston? And not just Brady, but the Patriots. Did the Patriots inspire other teams in this city to do likewise? Coaches and GMs and owners talk about it. We don't bring it up, Beadle. They're the ones who mention it from time to time. You know, there's a high bar for winning. Bruce Arena says it. On a somewhat regular basis. Now that I'm here in Boston, everybody, especially at Gillette Stadium, everyone expects you to win because of the Patriots and, you know, the Red Sox. I mean, don't discount that part of it, at least in terms of what is expected of other owners and GMs and coaches. I think that in Boston, there may be something to it.
That he put pressure on other teams to continue winning.
He specifically, by virtue of what he did with the team, a little bit, just from a business standpoint, I'm not talking about magic Tom Brady dust that's, you know, falling out of the clouds in nearby zip codes. I'm talking about what a team does, what the Red Sox did in 2004.
Yeah, I don't buy
that.
The Red Sox didn't win in 2004 because of the Patriots.
Okay, not 2004. But continuing on in 2013 and again in 2018, it's this winning vibe that John Henry looks at it, he's like, in some ways, I'm in competition with the Crafts.
Oh, I believe that they I don't know if they believe it as much anymore, but at one time, the rivalry between the Patriots and Red Sox behind the scenes was very strong.
For the ticket dollar, for the entertainment eyes, for the
Egotistical pissing match that went on between ownership groups,
right.
I'm sure.
Think about it, you know, as, you know, a robot battle, you know, a couple of billionaires. It's like, it's really got nothing to do with me. But if that guy's going to win, I want to win, too. Yes. But from a business standpoint, it makes sense. So that part of it, I agree with. But no, because Tom Brady was a baby living in the Bay Area, the 49ers won. Well, there's something to it. No, there's not. No, there's not.
Nothing.
Stop.
Nothing whatsoever. Jeff and Nashua on Nikhil Harry. Jeff.
Well, I take this personally. I was responsible for a lot of those titles in San Francisco. But Nikhil Harry is garbage. Opportunities, seriously, that guy couldn't crack last year's depth chart. Come on, guy. Get open a few times. I don't personally ever recall seeing this unstoppable force at the point of contact or this constant downfield threat. Not once, but I would trade Carey right now for Nikhil Harry for Andy Isabella, and I'd call it a day. And sorry, Teddy J, Zoe, and Jake in Boston, but enough with the Brady Kool-Aid already. Jake?
Enough with the Brady Kool-Aid. Well, you can say that, enough with the Brady Kool-Aid, but I think players look at Tom Brady and say he was the reason why. He was why the Patriots won. Oh, I know why they won. They had Tom Brady. And then Tom Brady went somewhere else, and then he won again. And so that does have some sort of impact on the Patriots, and that's why we're bringing up Teddy's take. which is N'Keal Harry demanding a trade like this. That doesn't happen typically around here, and now it is. Now things that don't typically happen, things that we even said yesterday in talking about N'Keal Harry, you say, that happens to other teams. We haven't seen that happen here. That happens to the Cleveland Browns. That happens to the Lions. That happens to the bad teams. When guys come to a team, they suck for a couple of years, and then they blame it on the team. We don't typically see that around here. What's changed? Ownership? No. Coach? No. Quarterback? Quarterback change.
It's a big change.
That's sort of an important change.
Yeah.
We'll talk more about this with you at 617-779-0985. We'll do that coming up next. Also, the best and worst possible outcomes for the Patriots this coming season, according to Pro Football Focus. We'll do that. It's on the way.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Talk sports in Boston. You talk to these guys.
I'm just going
to
say something quick. If you want to get everything, just go see Big Al and Reveal.
Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
You
think your dad is weird with his, with his irrational hatred of David Schwimmer.
By the way, this is completely off topic, but does relate to Schwimmer. I meant to tell you that I've now seen much of, fast forwarding through large chunks of it, but I've seen the Friends reunion.
Oh, yeah. I watched
Did you watch it?
I watched a little bit of that.
I had zero time for anyone telling me, like, oh, I watched Friends, and it helped me prevent me from, like, killing myself. I had no time. I'm like, what is this all about? Let me fast forward through this. However, James Corden?
Yeah.
As I told you guys a couple of weeks ago, when I said, I'm not sure I fully understand the James Corden hate. Like, I've watched his karaoke bits on YouTube and stuff. I don't know what all that... I don't hate him like you guys do.
Have you come around?
He could not have been a worse pick to host anything that might be interesting, that might have the reunion. By the way, I'm sure all the Friends, people who really like Friends, are really going to like that reunion because it was sort of soft and tame, much like the show.
Yeah.
Not that it was a bad show. It was a great sitcom, legendary sitcom, right?
Sure.
Great 20 minutes to eat up your time and watch something mindless and get a laugh. But that reunion could have been so much more interesting and more of behind the scenes if there was someone halfway decent doing the interview.
He's not there to do
it. Went a little bit deeper.
He's not there to do interesting. He's not there to do anything tawdry. He is completely safe. He is completely non-threatening. That is his biggest draw. James Who is the most non-threatening entity we can put in this role?
He's like a Ken doll, no balls. None.
Yes.
None.
Yeah. There's.
What are we doing here, buddy? Come on.
I don't
He's
know.
He's annoying. Oh, man.
I don't know how anybody likes James Corden, is a fan of James Corden. Like, how can you be a fan of something so milquetoast?
It was sort of making me angry that he was the guy that they picked to do it. It was. It made me a little angry. For a show that I don't care all that much about, but it made me mad.
They deserve better.
Did Schwimmer and Aniston bang during all that, by the way? Why did we not get a straight answer on that? They sort of claim they didn't. What was going on there?
Wow, what a poll for Schwimmer if he did.
No kidding! Freaking Schwimmer! That tool bag?
Yeah.
And David Schwimmer is also the giraffe in all the Madagascar movies, and he sucks in that as well.
Schwimmer. I also, the one tidbit I came away with
sucks is the voice of the giraffe.
I came away from the reunion and the behind the scenes and the creators of the show who said, we wrote the role of Ross. And Schwimmer claims that they went to him, and they didn't deny it. They agreed with him. They went to him and said, we wrote this role and this character in your voice. What? Of all the voices you could have thought of and all the actors you could have thought of, you wrote it in the voice of David Schwimmer?
How did they even know who David Schwimmer was? What had he done before
they
Friends?
They had to beg him to do the show. He did not want to go back into television. He was doing theater. He was doing Broadway. They had to beg him to do it.
David Schwimmer is absolutely terrible.
Oh, man.
ABC television movie, A Deadly Sign. Oh, L.A. Law. Okay. Yeah, he did a few things.
Yeah. And Matt LeBlanc called BS on them, saying that they never shacked up on the show. Off, you know.
No.
He called BS on that. Oh, no, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. Boom.
Yeah. I know it's been mentioned before, and it wouldn't have been breaking new ground, but I would have liked for James Corden to ask, if not the cast members, at least like the producers and the directors, about the obvious low temperatures they kept the studio at while shooting those episodes.
Because the headlights were always on?
The headlights were always on. Thankfully. Good. I it's one of the things I like best about
no
that show.
Sneaky nudity in that show, though, being on the network.
No.
You know, McCone, very big on sneaky nudity. It's unfortunate we don't have him here today. Mm. He got called to his bigger duties in Providence.
Yes.
Yeah.
But that's a legitimate question. Like, and
that could have produced a funny answer. We could have had a little something there.
Right. Like, Letterman used to keep his studio super cold because it made the guests somewhat uncomfortable.
And he's a bit of a creep himself.
Yeah, and well, but not just for the women, but it's like, you know, there's something off when you walked in onto that set, and it's like he liked it. You know, it added to the tension and it kept everybody sharp. Like, tell me, why did you keep the set so cold? Was it specifically for that reason? I would like a straight answer on that. The cast members seem to think so. They mentioned it before. Let me talk to the guy in charge of the thermostat. I want to hear it. I want it on record once and for all.
Where is he? Where is he right now?
Yeah.
Okay. Back to what we were going to tell you about, and that is the best and worst outcomes for the Patriots this season, according to Pro Football Focus and their statistical breakdowns. They do it with percentiles. 10th percentile outcome. The Patriots finish 5-12 on the year. Can you handle a 5-12 season, Artie?
No.
Can you handle that?
No.
That they're a 5-win team? They've done?
It feels like two losses for every win. It actually feels like more than two losses for every win. That doesn't sound right. That doesn't sound acceptable. Can't do that.
I just can't imagine that they would have fewer wins than they had last season.
That's the thing that I can't wrap my head around after everything that they did in the offseason. And even if it is Cam Newton, and even if we haven't seen any improvement from him, shouldn't he be at least a little more comfortable and be a little bit better?
This is how they get to it. They explain it. They say how they would be 5-12. Cam Newton is the same player. Mac Jones proves that he's not a better option. And Gilmore leaves. Newton stinks. Basically those two things. And Mac Jones provides nothing better than what Newton gives you.
Gilmore leaving makes a little bit of sense. But is it worth that big of a swing to go from 7-9 to 5-12? Oh.
Their 90th percentile outcome is 11-6. As in pretty much best case scenario, they go 11-6 on the year.
I don't have them at 11-6, but I think this is easily a 10-7 team. I think it can be a 10-7 team.
All right, let's talk more about that. 10-7, 11-6. What are we actually expecting?
What's more likely?
What are we expecting?
What's more likely? 5-12 or 12-5?
You haven't spent a lot of time talking about their record. Wait, when Hardy and I did some of that math last year, are they closer to this, closer to that? It revealed some things about that team that we ended up being pretty right about.
Amen.
All right. We ended up, we nailed it.
Called it.
Called it. Yikes. We'll tell you about that. Let's get to the expectations for the Patriots. And also, the 49ers have publicly named another quarterback. Their coach has named another quarterback that he would have preferred for 2021 ahead of Jimmy Garoppolo. We have to get into this because Jimmy G may not end up being the quarterback this year in San Francisco. That and David Schwimmer still sucks. All of it on the table here on Zolak and Bertrand.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Bertrand. Sports talk in the middle of the day.
You know what's hilarious about it, Scott? I could act like I know what I'm talking about.
That's what we do every day.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Zolak and Bertrand, Beadle and Hardy today, 617-779-0985. Pro Football Focus has the best case scenario, 90th percentile, as they say, 11-6. And here's how they get there, the Patriots. They say Newton remains healthy and looks much more comfortable as a passer with Hunter Henry, Jonnu Smith, Nelson Agholor, and Kendrick Bourne. New England's tight ends and wide receivers combined for just a 66.6 receiving grade in 2020, which was 30th in the NFL. And under this scenario at 11-6, they get much better. In addition to that, the return of Dante Hightower and a healthy Gilmore and a big bounce-back campaign play a big role in stabilizing a defense that took a sizable step back last season. They were 26th in EPA allowed per play. Well, let's get away from the advanced statistics for a moment and say, is 11-6 possible for this team?
Sure.
Is it likely for this team?
No. It's possible just on the notion that they are two wins better than last year. And I know there's the extra game, so the math isn't perfect. But it's, four wins better than last year. It's possible that there are four wins better than last year, just with the additions that they've made. And again, I will give credence to the notion that Cam Newton is better. Despite what people have seen early on in camp, and Paul talked about it a little bit yesterday, it's like, yeah, you know, if you see him in mini camp, and he looks about the same, and everyone who is saying that we're not being fair to Cam, well, you got to look at him, and we've looked at him. But I will at least welcome into the realm of discussion the idea that just being here another year, and I'll give you a tiny little wiggle room for not being a COVID year and all this stuff and more familiarity with the playbook, fine. It could be worth four more wins. I don't think it will be. I think it's more like two or three. Four is a lot.
Okay, so let's do this. Are they closer to? Here it comes.
Oh, T-Bone hates us.
Are
right
they
now.
Closer to it. 11-6 or 9-8?
Oh, I thought you were going to go 6-11.
No.
Right in the middle.
Are they closer to 11?
What are they? No. This is how we did it a year ago. We put one, you know, we talked about the expectation of the possibilities.
So you're saying they're worse. If they're 9-8, they're worse than they were last year. No. Excuse me. I keep thinking 9-7. They were 7-9.
Yeah, they're 7-9. They're
closer to 9-8.
Because you said it's more like, you know, two or three more wins is more likely.
They're closer to 9-8.
I think they're closer to the 11-6. And that's optimistic, don't get me wrong, very optimistic.
What?
But I think that if they don't get to 10 wins, what a failure. What a failure for this team to invest all the money that they have invested into this roster.
Got
to
be worth
to make up for all of the shortcomings they've had in the draft,
yep,
to go out and go on a shopping spree,
yep,
and get the best two tight ends available. Not one of them. We were happy with one. They said, no, we're going to double up and get both of them. To get both tight ends, to solve that problem overnight, to get a couple of receivers, one of which I think he can be pretty decent and born. I don't have high hopes for Aguilar, but I think he does add something to the team.
What are they in for guaranteed money? $180 million, something like
yeah,
that?
Yeah, I mean, to make it a nice even number, they spent $250 million in free agency.
It should be worth three wins.
You've got to get three more wins. You've got to, and with an extra opportunity to do it.
Yes.
You've got 10-7 is not 10-6. 10 wins now is not as valuable as it used to be.
Okay.
And that does have to be a factor.
But
that has to be factored in.
How do you...
They have to get to double-digit wins, Artie.
Okay.
Or this team failed.
And that's 10. How do you make the leap to that one more and say they're more likely to be 11-6 than they are 9-8?
Because I feel they're closer, and I feel like the 10 wins is a big goal, and they're going to get there. They're going to have to find a way to get there, and Bill will find a way to get them there. I do. I'm putting my faith in Bill Belichick. I am. Yep. He can't afford to not get those 10 wins this year. He needs them. He desperately needs them.
That means he hit on every single one of those free agents and his draft picks.
Okay. I think the bigger thing
is... Do you have faith in that?
No, free agents, yeah. Fine. I do. On the free agents.
Even though he gives us less and less reason to believe in him when it comes to the quarterback position. Because for... 2 decades, he had Tom Brady, and there was no thought involved in the quarterback position. None. What did Bill Belichick ever have to think about at quarterback? The only thing he had to worry about was Brady getting hurt. And he did a decent job in having Matt Cassel be the guy who got by for a year. So he didn't have to think about much. And last year, despite the poor performances of Cam Newton, he never went to anybody else. The only time he started anybody else was when Cam was unavailable, and he made the wrong decision in starting Brian Hoyer. That was a disaster. He did recognize that by then making Hoyer inactive going forward, and Stidham was the backup. But we never saw Stidham play. I think that was an error. I think it was a mistake. I hope they look back at that and say we missed an opportunity to at least see what that kid can do in a starting situation. And so he's given us reason to have less and less faith in him as a guy running and handling the quarterback position. But I'm going to, based on loyalty to Bill Belichick and all the great things he has done as one of the best coaches ever, say at some point he's going to shake that issue that he has, and he's going to recognize whether or not the guy who's playing quarterback weeks 1, 2, 3 and beyond is good enough to be doing the job. He's going to be a little bit more desperate in being – more willing to make a change if necessary this year. To whoever it is from, to who it's going to, we can figure that out later. We said earlier, we don't even know who the starter is week one. We just don't know. But I'm going to give him the credit and benefit of the doubt, even though he probably doesn't deserve it right now, and say he knows the importance of having a bounce back season. He's not going to have another bad season, and if he needs to make a change there, he will.
I just want to remember this day when you mentioned your loyalty to Bill Belichick.
Yes, loyalty is a fan. Of course there's some of that. How could you not?
I just feel like it's something that I might have to remind you of a couple of times during the regular season when you have a particularly salty take on the coach.
Well, I still always have salty takes, but I mean. You
know. Just remember your loyalty. You brought it up on July the 8th.
All right, let me reverse that a little bit. If Bill needs to find a new cheating scheme to get this team to 10 wins, he will do it, Artie. That better? Is that better for you? Does that work better?
Well, that's more. I think that's more on brand for you.
They will cut corners and scrape and claw and get to those 10 wins with whatever the hell it takes, whether that's sending Mondillo to Cincinnati to tape a sideline, whatever it is, they'll do it.
You don't believe that.
They'll do it, Artie.
I don't think that was that. Don't think that.
They need the ball boys rubbing the footballs a certain way. They will do it.
Now that I believe.
They need it. They need those 10 wins. That's a bar that should be set. You've got to get. Come on. 10-7? That's not exactly lighting the world on fire. You get to lose 7 times. You get to lose 7 games.
You get to lose almost as much as you win.
Yes.
How's that sound?
Yes.
It's fine.
One fewer win and being 9-8, you're barely above 500.
You're right, 9-8.
It changes the math in a big way.
I mean, there are a lot of mediocre to bad teams that you could convince yourself could go out there and have a 9-8 season. And the Patriots
should not be one of them.
Should not be thought of in the same breath as a mediocre to bad team.
10 wins are a must.
And you think 11. All right.
Let it be said today. I don't think they're getting to 11. I think they're going to.
You just said you thought it was likely.
I said it was more likely than 9-8.
Oh, okay.
It was an either or there.
All right.
Did you not understand the question? Should we start over?
I don't need you to repeat the question.
You mean to repeat the question?
Lieutenant Weinberg.
617-779-0985. We mentioned the Jimmy G thing. We'll tell you about it. Let's do your calls as well right after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.